Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Jay, Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to talk to Buster only in 15 minutes. Minutes. In English, that translates to minutes. But we've talked about week two.
Like Martian language or something.
Starting with two 0-1 teams. It's the Giants and the Washington football team tonight. First of all, before I even get into that, Key.
What's up?
What do you feel? How do you feel about being blamed for Clay Helton's firing?
Damn.
I don't feel any way, to be honest with you, Max, because I clearly know his removal of the University of Southern California had nothing to do with me.
Well, Jay is just laughing. I mean, that's just outright laughing
at
that reaction.
Not at Key's words. I'm laughing at the song that our team, it wasn't me. That's what I'm laughing at.
It wasn't me.
Forgot he had the keys. You forgot we all had the keys. You're on the bathroom floor right now, Key.
It just so happened to coincide with information that was hacked on my social media account.
And I was hacked.
Happens.
You know, lies, and more lies.
But I think it was the right thing to do, though.
Key, let's put it this way. Obviously, it's not you, but you have talked about SC, number one.
I'm glad you clarified that, though. It wasn't me.
Right. but, number one, even before recruiting, you got to be strong with alumni, right?
Yeah.
You got to be plugged in. You got to be able to raise money, all those things. Well,
you mean as a coach?
As a coach, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a head coach, you need the support of the alumni, of that community, right?
Yeah.
You are a very, shall we say, prominent alum. And so
you are one
of many. That's why you can't just say, oh, it's Key. But you are in that community. And it seems to me like nothing happens over there without that community signing off on it.
It's very uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, I can tell.
But hold on. I'm going to flip it around, though. That includes hiring him as a coach.
Yeah.
That includes the hiring. Your job lasts forever.
I am willing to talk about that openly because I was one that, I felt like he was the right guy at the time for the job. At the time. See, I did that?
Yep.
At the time.
But why is that not real? That's real.
He was the right guy for the job. We were coming off a situation with Steve Sarkisian. Prior to that, Lane Kiffin fired on the tarmac.
First question for Clay. Are you sober after the Sarkisian situation?
Yeah, because
right?
it was, we needed some stability.
Yeah.
And Clay was a guy that gave us some stability. Now, mind you, we had a lot of other things going on at the university outside of sports that we needed to just, bring things down, man. We had all sorts of issues at the university.
You need a steady Eddie coach who's going to keep you competitive.
If you only knew the process of hiring and what we went through as a university and looking at other candidates along the way that had all these red flags that you would say, oh, man, that would have been a great hire.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't hire him.
Not when you do your due diligence and start to dig.
After you dig and you do your due diligence, you go, yeah, that's probably not a good situation based on the last situation we just had. So Clay was there, perfect situation. And some of the people that at the time was running, the athletic director, Mike Bone, wasn't there. It was a totally different administration. They were an old administration, so you hire somebody from within because guess what it does for you? It becomes self-preservation. Now, all of a sudden, we don't have to worry about them cleaning house if we bring somebody else in.
Got some stability.
Yeah. We're okay. He can get us to where we need to. Now, in all fairness, he won a lot of games. He didn't win the right games, but he won a lot of games. And when you don't beat the Ohio State Buckeyes and you don't beat Alabama's, when you have the same type of recruiting classes and numbers and players, this is what happens to you.
He brought you stability at first. Then over time, the results were trending in the wrong direction. Guys, this is life.
It's reality.
Most people, you don't have a job forever.
It's reality.
You have a job for some time, and then you have the next job, And we've talked about week two, starting with the 0-1 teams, as I said earlier. It's the Giants and the Washington football team tomorrow night. Now, I'll start this. I am most worried about the Giants. And the reason I'm most worried about the Giants is because I'm a Giants fan. And it's been year in and year out, disappointment after disappointment. But if I'm being honest about which team is more significant right now, like what this game is going to tell you, it's Washington. Key, you brought it up before. With a quarterback, this Washington team is very live, right? Is Taylor Heinicke a quarterback? Who has more concerns right now, the Giants or the Washington football
team? I mean, he did okay against the Chargers when he came in relief for Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? He did okay.
Yeah, they were in the game.
They were in the game. So if he gets a full week with the starters as the number one guy, and is he going to be better? He should be. So I don't know what – I'll know tomorrow night when I see the Giants play.
And they're at home against the Giants, who does not look good. They got to win that game, don't they?
The Giants need to win the game. It's a situation where there's a lot riding on the Giants for a number of reasons. General manager, quarterback, fanboys, both of you.
Yes.
Fan men, whatever.
Do they use fan men? They say fan boys.
We just made it up, but it sounds right.
All that. The sanity of the New York Giant fan base. So when you look at it, there's a lot riding on it. And you got to win this game. Washington, in my opinion, can drop this one and be okay.
Wow.
I think they can drop it and be okay.
Fundamentally, they're a better team.
They're a better team because of the defense.
Jay,
the defense makes up for all their errors offensively, even with Taylor Heinicke there. Taylor Heinicke is going to have a lot of time to throw the ball. You watch how much time Denver had to throw the ball.
We don't have an edge rush, Jay.
There's no pass rush. I mean, they converted over 50% of their third downs. And that's the problem. The defense couldn't get off the field.
And one of the reasons I say I think they could be okay if they drop this one and the Giants can't, because of everything I just mentioned, right? The players, the coaches, the fans, all of those things. Also, the quarterback. The quarterback has been in the system. He's been there. He's played enough games. Heinicke hadn't really played.
So Daniel it's an advantage Jones, Giants.
Daniel Jones has played.
But he's facing a pass rush, and doesn't Heinicke's matter. Not.
He still played. He still played. So if he goes out there and lays an egg, y'all in trouble. Because that's what you're going to see every single year in every single game moving forward. But if Washington lays an egg, it's okay because this is his first start.
Yeah, this is what bothers me so much, Jay. Starting from when Gettleman shows up with a Boston accent in New York, right? Like you don't have a lot of
going back to the O-line
margin.
Again.
No.
He
not
said
just
New
the
York.
O-line.
I mean, Boston accent in New York. I'm like, it sounds the same to me.
No, Keith. I won't let you do that to yourself here.
No. I mean, he's just saying West Coast ears.
You put me on in L.A., West Coast. I'm not going to let you do that
to
yourself.
West Coast ears, I hear you. But look,
he
shows up with that. But here's my problem, Jay. He's kind of like arrogant. He has the answers, right? I'm going to fix the O-line. Year four, the O-line's not fixed. But beyond that, Saquon Barkley, I love Saquon. Love Saquon. You don't spend the number two pick on a running back usually, right? He's criticized for that. Acts like no one else knows what they're talking about. How's that turned out in terms of actual wins and losses? Then he spends a sixth pick on Daniel Jones. I'm not saying that Daniel Jones may not have been the best quarterback available at that pick, but I'm looking at the next year, number six was Justin Herbert. This year you had five quarterbacks. They all might be good. I'm saying that's maybe not the best choice under center over the last 3 or 4 years he could have made. And then it's, on, and here we are, once again, bad start to the season, on the road, against a great defense. How much longer does this experiment go, Jay?
Well, the one thing that's working in Daniel Jones' favor is that he is undefeated against the Washington football team. I think he's like 5-0. That helps. That helps. But it has to be cemented in a game like this. And I think, once again, we're going to have to see. Max, when he turned the ball over, that fumble, when everybody wanted him to slide, they're coming off the edges in Washington. He's going to feel a lot of pressure. How he takes care of the ball, if this narrative continues to build for 2 weeks in a row, and once again, he can't get over taking care of the ball, you're going to start to see people call for his head.
Do you like Eli Manning?
I do.
You loved Eli Manning, right?
Two Super Bowls, brother.
Two Super Bowls, right? Do you trust Eli Manning's college coach and Peyton Manning's college coach?
I know it's the Daniel Jones story.
I'm just asking you.
Yes.
Okay. So if Dave Gettleman does his research and due diligence and David Cutcliffe is telling him, well, you know, he reminds me a lot of those two, blah, 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 blah. And David, and Gettleman kind of goes on that in, you know, drafts him because of some of those influences. This is what you're getting. You would take, if Daniel Jones gave you exactly what Eli gave you over the 17 years he played or whatever, yeah, however long he played,
yeah,
you would take that.
I'll say this. I would because of the way those two Super Bowls went. But Key, and I'll never repeat this, and I won't even admit this tape exists one day, there was some luck involved. I mean, luck is the residue of design. I get it. You have to put yourself in the position, but that didn't have to go that way either.
So if it didn't go that way, you didn't want Eli.
Compared to some other dudes, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I'm just
but
no,
like
so
if you
also our defense was off the charts.
Had a great defense. Everything fell into place.
But it also
you know?
Took a minute. I know Eli went to the playoffs early in his career and all those sort of things, but it took a minute on those 9-7 teams to get to the Super Bowl.
You just have a different way of looking at it because you played and because especially I noticed Parcells type dudes, you're able to like just blink and basically know what people can do. The Parcells kind of school, and you sound Parcellian to me when you talk.
Parcellian.
It's like, look, it can be done like this. It doesn't have to be all sensational and everything like that.
Which is true.
I'm not saying it's not, but some quarterbacks, some baller quarterbacks, if they have the right stuff,
yes,
right, give you a better chance to win year in and year out than a dude who can just get it done.
There's no question if you had Aaron Rodgers, they would be, how do you say it, odds-wise? 10-1 to win it or something like that? Whatever those odds are that they
instead
do.
Instead of a billion-to-1 or whatever it is
now. It would, of course.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
That's the reality.
Here's what I would say. The kid is entering his third year.
Yep.
His third year. You wanted Justin Fields last year. You cannot, as an organization and a general manager, move on from a guy that played a handful of games because another guy looks sexy.
By the way, I looked it up. You know, 27 games.
Okay, so you
it
can't
ain't like
move.
10.
You know what this feels like, Max?
27 games with a new
not
head
even
coach.
Two full
and
seasons.
No full,
yeah. Yeah.
You can't, Max. I'm trying to use you. I'm trying to help you with your sanity. You cannot because another guy walked by and his calves look a certain way. You like it.
You know what, though?
No, you can't.
By the way, he's right about the calves.
Sometimes
you see the athletic ability. I don't like that guy's calves. It's true.
Sometimes you're too rational, though. You're too rational, and that's not how the world works, though. That's not how the world worked for Sam Darnold. Like, and I'm not saying Sam Darnold's situation is exactly like Daniel Jones, but there are similarities. You almost feel guilty by association for a guy like Daniel Jones because now you're saying that you entrust Dave Gettleman to get it right with the pieces he puts around you to help you be successful.
What I'm saying, Jay, is 27 games. Half of those 27 games, his running back wasn't there. The offensive line was being put together. Those 27 games, Evan Ingram dropping ball. It just was Golden Tate is 100 years old. It was different. You got to let him settle in this season before we start saying, well, you know, this guy. Because if he gives you that steady ride and you can fall into what Max said, two lucky Super Bowls, down the line, you take that all day long.
So let me ask you this question. Say they miss the playoffs. They finish 500. Daniel Jones takes care of the ball. He's not overly productive, not extra sexy, but serviceable. Keyshawn Johnson, Dave Gettleman gets fired. Keyshawn Johnson gets the job. Is he the quarterback that you want to build around?
Well, he might be something that I want to build around based on what I saw because my system may allow me to get the most out of him, like he was saying, Parcelli. Like he was saying, it may get the most out of – I may be able to look at it and go, can't do that with him. I could do that with him. If I got a healthy back, I need to shore up this. I'm building around my defense. I'm going to get me a Lawrence Taylor. I'm going to get – and I may feel different. Got to find me a Michael Strahan because if I don't get me a Michael Strahan, I'm going to get fired. So it just depends on your thought process. Joe Judge is second year on the job. It's his second year on the job.
Understood.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and we – like to welcome in now the great Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, host of the Baseball Tonight podcast. You can follow him at Buster_ESPN. Buster, always great to talk to you.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Buster?
What's up, man?
So Buster, the Dodgers clinched their ninth straight playoff spot with a win last night. How important is it for them to actually win the division, though, with these surprising Giants?
Well, it's absolutely huge. The funny thing was, about 9 days ago, we had the Dodgers and the Giants on Sunday Night Baseball, and I asked that very question of Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, and he kind of blinked and looked at me, and he goes, you know what, it's too far out. I haven't even given it a thought. Like, he's still in the moment of the regular season, but you know now down the stretch with less than 3 weeks to go, it's going to become a focal point, because we've seen time and again how great players can be derailed by that wild card game. There were a couple of years, 7, 8 years ago, when it looked like at the end of the regular season, the Pittsburgh Pirates were the best team in the National League, but they had to go through the wild card game. And in back-to-back years, they faced Madison Bumgarner at the beginning of the greatest postseason run we've ever seen from any pitcher. That was in 2014, and they lost. And then the next year, they got Jake Arrieta at the end of the greatest second half we ever saw from a pitcher, and they lost again. And so the Dodgers, you know, have a chance to be the first team to win back-to-back titles since the 1998 to 2000 Yankees. I think that they're the best team in baseball right now, but one game, you just never know.
Buster, we play take the field on this show. So the Dodgers, the Giants, to win –
Or the Dodgers,
Dodgers, Giants, or the field to win the World Series, who would you take?
Oh, I would take the Dodgers or the Giants. You know, they're the two best teams in baseball right now. I think Toronto is incredibly dangerous with how they're playing. Look, if the Chicago White Sox were to get healthy, they're really dangerous. I think the most underrated team in baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers, because of the strength of their starting rotation. The improvement of their offense is gradually as the season's gone along. But Giants, Dodgers, those are the two best teams in baseball right now.
Buster, only ESPN Baseball Insider, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Buster, where would you rank Max Scherzer among the all-time great trade deadline acquisitions? Now, there's been plenty. I mean, you got, you know, the Randy Johnsons of the world. I mean, you got some stuff out there. Where would you put him?
And you're right. There are a lot of great candidates. If you go back to 1984, for example, Rick Sutcliffe went to the Chicago Cubs and went 16-1.
Or one, right?
With a 2.69 ERA. Manny Ramirez, in 2008, when the Red Sox traded the Dodgers, he went nuts, and the Dodgers wound up making the playoffs that year. Now, of course, we know after the fact that he was saturated with PEDs. But I do think at the end of this year, we're going to look back at the Scherzer acquisition as being the best addition any team has ever made. I mean, think about the numbers he's had so far. Eight starts, five earned runs, a 0.88 ERA, 72 strikeouts. And look, when we look back at the 2021 season and we talk about turning points, maybe in those few hours in which the Padres look like we're going to get Max Scherzer, and instead the Dodgers swooped in at the end, made the big deal, as they always seem to do in recent years, and get the best available player at the trade deadline.
Buster, last time we had you on the show, I asked you, is it a foregone conclusion that Ohtani would be the AL MVP? You said yes. Do you still feel that way right now, or is there somebody closing in on the gap?
Well, and look, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if Ohtani doesn't win the American League MVP, then it's going to be Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who has a chance to win a triple crown in the American League. I personally think that, Ohtani separated himself, and what Angels manager Joe Maddon said is right. It's not even close, because if you look at the production that Ohtani has brought to the table this year, it's unprecedented. But I'm also aware, as someone who worked as a writer for a lot of years, how the baseball writers love a narrative, right? They love that conversation. And if the Blue Jays finish this off and make the playoffs, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just keeps leading them the way that he is, I guess that could change. Yeah, but I don't think it's even close in terms of the production they brought. Ohtani has just been that special.
You know, I can't take my mind off that trade deadline acquisition. I think of CC Sabathia, whatever year that was, the Brewers picked him up, Buster. He was huge. I mean, but this Scherzer is up there. Also, the Cubs, when they got Aroldis Chapman, closed out the World Series for them. And even though it was shaky, but for the Cubs to win a World Series, but like maybe Scherzer, he could go down as the best one yet. I asked this question.
Can I tell you a great
please
CC that year? I'll go quick. 2008, he gets traded from the Indians to the Brewers, and down the stretch, the Brewers begin to ask him, hey, can you start every 4 days? You know, can you go on 3 days rest? And CC was about ready to go into free agency.
Yeah.
And his agent called the Brewers and said, what are you doing to my guy? Like, you know, he's got a lot on the line. And CC called his agent and started yelling at him. Don't you do this. I'm invested in these players. We're going to get this done. Don't call the team again. Now come down to the hotel and I'm going to buy you breakfast and yell at you some more. That was CC Sabathia.
CC was the man. When the Yankees signed him, as a Yankees fan, I was very happy. And by the way, helped deliver us a World Series. All right, we're running out of time, but let me ask you this quickly. I asked this on my new TV show, This Just In, 2 p.m. on ESPN. I'm thinking about father-son combinations in the history of baseball, Buster, where, you know, like Griffey Sr. was excellent, but he wasn't an MVP caliber player like his son was. And Bobby Bonds, same thing with Barry. What about Vlad and Vlad Jr., though? Is that the greatest father-son combination of all time?
I think by the time Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they have a chance to be the greatest father-son duo of all time, which is saying something, because when you look at the Bonds, you know, Bobby and Barry, and their win above replacement in their career, it's ridiculous. It's about 220, and I think it's ridiculous that Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame, by the way, but it's incredible that Vladimir Guerrero Sr. is a Hall of Famer, and it looks like his son is a more refined hitter than he is. Yeah, I mean, already amazing. He's the best offensive player in baseball.
No fielders? No.
Yeah, Prince and Cecil is a good
Prince
call.
Prince and Cecil? The Cecil?
Not compared to the Bonds, in my opinion. They're not even close.
Okay.
224. The Griffies, as great as they were, 124. The Bonds, 100 wins above replacement above the Griffey.
The crazy thing about Prince and Cecil is, though, they were the same player. Like, one was right-handed, one was left-handed, but they're a big fat first baseman. They both hit 51 home runs in a season.
Going yard all day long.
The great Buster Olney, ladies and gentlemen. Buster, always a pleasure to talk to you about
Dodgers.
Some baseball. On the Goodyear Hotline. He meant Yankees.
Thanks, guys.
Yankees got to make the playoffs.
Dog.
We made the playoffs.
Oh. Yeah, the Dodgers. The Dodgers, once they made the front office hires, going back 7, 8, 9 years already, it's been a wrap. USC gets the attention of an NFL team. So should they look to the NFL for their next coach? That's after I have this from my computer career. Did you know that the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work, for example, when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career, working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Why did USC make this move now after just 2 games?
When you look at what happened Saturday night, Stanford game, I mean, we got run out of our own building.
What should be done eventually must be done immediately, so I wasn't surprised.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Damn, no,
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. So I brought this up on my TV show yesterday. This just in, have I mentioned that? 2 p.m. on ESPN. You know, all these names being bandied about, and I may have mentioned it on this show yesterday too. I don't even remember anymore. But I think USC should consider reaching out to, I said this yesterday, Eric Bieniemy, you know, about their head coach opening. If you're a coordinator and you're looking for the right opportunity as a head coach and it's not presenting itself in the NFL, but you want to be a head coach, why not USC? Adam Schefter then tweeted this. League sources believe Chiefs OC Eric Bieniemy will emerge as a head coaching candidate for USC. Bieniemy is from Southern California and has told confidants in the past that USC is one of the only college jobs that might interest him. Keyshawn Johnson, the question is USC, so I come to you. Would Eric Bieniemy be a good fit?
I think he certainly will be a candidate. Let's just say that. He will be a good fit because he knows the landscape, the area. He's from Southern California. He's coached in Southern California before. He's recruited Southern California.
What did he do at UCLA? College. He was there for a couple of years, right?
Running back coach.
Running back coach.
And he was an offensive coordinator at Colorado several years ago prior to getting back into the NFL. But he has roots in Southern California. So naturally, it makes sense for his name to be out there. As a candidate, and he's done a tremendous job with the Kansas City Chiefs. USC is a football program, right? It's big. It's a pros. It's if you're at USC and you are the head coach of USC, you might as well be a head coach in the National Football League. The resources, the money, all it's the same thing. The pressure, all of those sort of things. There's only about three jobs, maybe four in all of college football, that you would not leave USC. Like, you would stay.
And those aren't available usually.
And those aren't available. You don't leave USC to go to any program, but you'll leave programs to come to USC. You don't leave USC to even go to the NFL unless that is a dream of yours. Pete Carroll left USC to go back to the NFL because he accomplished so much at USC. And the next stop was to try to prove himself again after being run out of New England in the New York Jets. So it was time to now show everybody I can coach in the NFL. We'll see what happens as time goes on over the next 3-4 months if Eric Bieniemy becomes a serious candidate.
And also, before fit hits the shan, shall we say, it's good to maybe jump into another job. What do you think, Jay? You like Bieniemy as the head coach for SC?
I do. I think he would be the right fit, but it is interesting, Max, to hear what other people's thoughts are on how they think, hey, is it easier to be an NFL coach as opposed to be a college coach?
Want to hear from Greg McElroy? He was on This Just In with Max Kellerman. I don't know if you heard about it, 2 p.m. on ESPN. It's a great show. I asked him about Eric Bieniemy as a possible fit at SC. This is what he said.
College has changed. The NIL, the transfer portal, the roster management, the egos that you have to deal with amongst 18 to 22-year-old kids, it's not the same. NFL is a much better lifestyle. So if Eric Bieniemy can get a head coaching job up there, stay up there, Eric. Listen, sure, get leverage, but don't take a college job if an NFL one might present itself.
So I hear what Greg is saying, because I think the perception is it would be easier on the NFL level. I mean, it's the same thing in college basketball to a degree. Look, I was down in college basketball for 10 years. Like, I recognize the hustle, the grind, recruiting, dealing with AD, raising money, all the extra things that come around, managing kids, you know, name, image, and likeness to deal with all that. I get that. But I don't know how Eric Bieniemy is built, because I know a lot of coaches that are addicted to that type of grind. With the potential of the ceiling being this key, if you could create what the Kansas City Chiefs have created, granted, they found Patrick Mahomes, but with that style, with that kind of swag, if you could create a culture like that in college at a program like USC, you know, you talk a lot about the relationship that Nick Saban has with Bill Belichick. Now you have the relationship between Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, that connection. If you're a recruit, if you're talking about a guy like Bryce Young, I heard you mention a whole bunch of names the other day, guys that got out of California, end up going to other programs, Alabama, all these other places. If he's at modern day, Eric Bieniemy is there.
with the system that he's seen in place. If you're a young kid, you know about Patrick Mahomes and how he's built that out. You tell me why you don't want to go to USC. You tell me if you're Eric Bieniemy, even though regardless of all that grit and that grind that comes along with that job, that you don't think you could be at this place for 10 years, raking in money, winning championships. And then if you wanted to go somewhere else.
The grind's got to be worth it, in other words. And at SC, it'd be worth it.
It feels like it's worth it, Max. Yeah, that's the one place where it is worth it.
And I understand exactly what Greg McElroy is saying. It's a plus and a minus. At USC, you it's a grind. But the NFL is not a calling to kick it down your door like that. You have to take and seize the moment. One thing that Greg didn't mention there is programs like USC and Alabama and Texas, I'll just use those three, and then you can elaborate on Texas, others. Yeah. Well, I mean just the program itself. Yeah. It's set up like NFL programs now, right? That's why Nick Saban, all the coaches who get fired, they die, they go to Nick Saban. He brings them back to life. They go on, get college jobs. If they die again, he can't help them. That's what happens.
Right.
USC is set up like that now, where he doesn't have or will not have the grind like that. He doesn't have to worry about recruiting. They have an entire office set up for all of that. They have analysts, ex-coaches that are analysts. They have quality control guys. That's all they do. They have people that are advanced scouts that break down film for the opponents, where 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. The resources and the money is there, just like in the NFL, where all he has to do is coach. He doesn't have to. When I was going to school, the assistant coach would come around the classroom, sit there with a little sheet, and make sure Keyshawn's sitting in, okay, he's in class, Jay Will's in class, Max Kellerman's in class. They got a little 19-year-old dude, little Johnny, who mommy and daddy probably gave some money to the school. That's his job. The coaches don't have to focus in on that. They have recruiters that are on-campus recruiters that break down all the film. In the past, the coaches had to do that to look at the recruits. Every now and then, the head coach goes to the high school Friday, Saturday night games when he has the opportunity to just be seen for 10 minutes. Helicopter to the next game, and then the next game. So it's a lot easier than when it was in the past. So the grind is nowhere near what Greg might think.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Speaking of L.A., we're talking about USC. The one NFL team and division that got completely overlooked in week one. That's next. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max on smart speakers by saying play ESPN Radio.
More Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The greatest American hero. Key, you remember when that was on TV?
Absolutely.
Dude lost the manual, like some the alien spacesuit or something, and so he's flying all sideways.
Dude had the fake Jerry curl.
The Greatest American Hero was a big deal. I don't remember what night it was on, but like The Incredible Hulk, Wonder Woman, The Greatest American Hero. Remember that?
He reminds me of Kenny G so much. I don't know why.
The way he looked? Yeah.
Yeah, just the way he looked, I guess.
You know me, I'm looking it up.
The Greatest American Hero.
Yeah, like a fake Jerry Curl. It was like weird. But it was.
I remember loving that show as a kid. I don't remember it, but I remember loving it.
Yeah, I remember it.
When did that come out? J. Will, and Max.
Early 70s?
No, 80s. Early 80s, though. 80s, early 80s.
Oh, when I was
early
like 80s. Two?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wait, what year were you born?
81.
Yeah, so when you were like zero. It came out when you were like zero.
I just like messing with y'all.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Look, it's 81? Time for, the reason you hear that is because it's time for Believe It or Not. Our producer, Evan, here will jump in and give us a statement. We'll tell you if we believe it or not. Go ahead, Evan.
So we've talked a lot about how the NFC West went 4-0 this weekend. Did you guys know the AFC West also went 4-0 this weekend?
Absolutely knew
and
that.
Three of those wins came from 2020 playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
So the AFC West will get three playoff teams, believe it or not.
Who wants to start? Yeah,
Keith. Not. Mm-mm. No, I don't think so. I think you get Kansas City and you get one more.
Denver may be interesting. I still want to see the – once again, we talked about this all day yesterday – great Monday night football win. Even better commentary, I thought, by Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. I thought that was incredible, by the way. Love it. But I want to see the Raiders continue to do that because we saw them last year beat the Chiefs. I need to see them sustain it.
You know what? I don't believe it. It's possible that you only get the Chiefs, but you get three other 9-8 style teams. Like, I like the Raiders. I like Denver, but around 500. I think the Chargers would be my pick out of the three to pop their heads up a little bit because – New coach and Justin Herbert and a hellified left tackle. So I like the Chargers maybe as the second team to make it out of that division.
Speaking of the Chargers, head coach Brandon Staley with us at 9:30.
Look at you. What a
guys,
bug.
Guys, Frank Reich is in trouble, believe it or not.
Believe. I believe Frank Reich could possibly be in trouble if the Indianapolis Colts don't do what the preseason said they should do by getting Carson Wentz. If some reason they missed the playoffs under Frank Reich, I could see where they look to make, as we like to say, leadership change with the Indianapolis Colts. He got his quarterback wishes with Phillip Rivers a year ago. They lost to the Buffalo Bills. He get his quarterback wishes now with Carson Wentz. And Frank Reich is a hell of a guy, ex-quarterback of mine. But I do think that the people in Indianapolis will stop eating the cheese.
They lost to the Bills by 3. It was a really tight game. It's not like Frank Reich forced Phillip Rivers to retire. He decided to retire. Now, look, out of the available options, the experience he had with Carson Wentz, I think a lot of people felt like, okay, if there was a quarterback whisperer, we talk about that. Sean Payton could be those type of guys. Matt Nagy supposedly is one of those type of guys. If Frank Reich can do that with Carson, I think they're in a good place. I don't think he's in trouble, even if they don't make the playoffs this year.
I believe it, but I don't think it should be.
I don't think it should
be. Because the fact is, that's a team that had to get a real old Phillip Rivers because they didn't have a quarterback. Now they got to get a reclamation project in Wentz. They don't really have a quarterback. They got to kind of squint and hope instead of getting a dude you know can do it. And so they're a little bit stuck. They're also not bad enough to get a good, you know, pick in the draft. They're kind of stuck, but he'll probably get the blame, right? What's that? What's next?
If he has another quarterback next year, that'd be 5-5 seasons. I can't imagine a coach can survive that.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's fumble problems will continue, believe it or not.
Not. I mean, will he fumble again this year? Yes. But will he fumble 3 times in a game? No.
I think it's going to continue for a little bit until Latavius Murray and company kind of shore up that left tackle side. I mean, the block, they have issues on that O-line. And the amount of duress I saw him under the other night against the Raiders, if he has to feel like he has to be that superhero every single day, he's going to put himself in those kind of situations.
Not, I don't believe it. This is a dude who's good with ball security. I mean, I saw the way he carried it on that first fumble, I really didn't like it. Away from his body, one hand, he's like taking risks. But generally, Lamar's secure with the ball. I don't think it's like suddenly going to be a trend.
Jalen Hurts' performance is closer to reality than Carson Wentz's week one performance, believe it or not.
Believe it. I think Jalen Hurts is on to something. I think Philadelphia is on to something. They went out and drafted Devontae Smith, the guy he played with at Alabama early on. So when you look at it, they're trying to build around him. Jalen Rigger's there. They'll get some more weapons on the offensive side in this year's draft and free agency. He will grow only in this offense. They got rid of Carson Wentz so that it would leave a clear path for Jalen Hurts to be a long-term solution at quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I don't believe it yet. I want to see it against top-tier defense. I'll tell you if I believe it after Sunday when he played the 49ers. I want to see how he plays against the top-tier defense.
So you're saying that, hold on, let me get this straight. Hurts' performance is closer to reality than Wentz's. I'm going to say I don't believe it. Hurts had an exceptionally excellent game. I think he's good, but I don't think he's going to do that most of the time. I think that's Wentz. Like, Wentz is a problem, and I think he's been a problem for a year and a half. I think that's closer to reality, so I don't believe it.
You think Wentz was a problem even though he didn't throw for any interceptions, didn't fumble the ball, threw for two passing TDs?
He didn't fumble the ball. I thought he did.
No, he did not.
He had one fumble.
Yeah. He had
a fumble.
I just think this is Wentz. Like, okay, even if you think that it wasn't that bad, right, because Wentz isn't – his normal performance should not be awful. But I just don't think he's that good, and frequently he isn't that good, and I think that's closer to who he is.
And then again, sometimes a quarterback – makes the offensive line look worse than what they truly are. It's just the reality of it. And when you look at the situations with some quarterbacks, you know, you say to yourself, all right, from a running back standpoint, I remember playing with one running back, the hole, you could drive a truck through it.
Right.
The other running back is like the same hole is there, but he couldn't get there.
Hey, Evan, ask Believe It or Not what Key just said.
Believe it or not.
Believe it. Like, I believe that sounds real to me because I just saw it in Philadelphia. Hurts took over, and the offense worked much, much better, right?
It looked clean.
Well, that's because he's faster. What's his name? The old quarterback, 40-year-old, who never started in the playoffs for the Eagles a couple of years ago.
McCown.
You know, McCown, the Eagles lost to Seattle in, like, week 12 or whatever that year by the same score they lost to Seattle in the playoffs with, you know, when McCown was quarterback. That's a Wentz issue. The line doesn't perform. The team doesn't perform. By the way, I don't hate on Wentz. I thought he should have been the MVP up until he got hurt that
first
year.
Which you said that was the same line last year that it is this year for the Eagles, and it looked different.
Didn't it look different?
It looked different to me.
By the way, Nick Foles, when he took over that team, not the Super Bowl year, the next year, they were dead in the water, 500, maybe a game below, caught fire, made the playoffs, beat the Bears at Soldier Field, almost beat New Orleans. Why? Why is
because
it the team responds to the other quarterbacks?
It's not even necessarily the team. Again, certain guys, styles, systems, things of that nature play. You look at the New England Patriots, you look at Cam Newton, the offensive line looks a certain way with Cam. Mac Jones gets out of the D, it looks clean. It's like, it's the reality of it.
You got to make good, quick decisions with the ball.
That's all.
Let's see when Eric Fisher comes back. We'll see how much better that line will be for Indianapolis.
Quick answer
here. An injury history at this point. You know. Achilles,
quick answer here for the last one. USC is still a prominent college football program.
Believe it.
Believe it. That's not even the question.
Believe it.
I believe it, but no.
Max, don't.
Not,
don't,
and I'll tell you why.
Max, leave USC to
this, me. This coaching hire is to return them to prominence.
Glory.
How concerned should we be about the Packers? One former Packer gave us a ton of reason for concern. That's next.
Hey, leave.